Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa.
Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
It's that kind of day, guys, as we lose one of the all-time greats, and I think the most significant sports figure in Atlanta sports history, and Henry Aaron today, who passed away at the age of 86, passed away in his sleep this morning. Talking about it all day, and we will continue to talk about it. You will hear from Hall of Fame Skipper Jones coming up. Also, the great Dale Murphy is going to stop by coming up a little bit later in this hour at about 5:40. As we continue to get thoughts about one of the all-time best at what he did. But a lot of guys continue to talk and share about the kind of man he was. Brian Jordan saying he was my hero. And, you know, I grew up idolizing him. And then, you know, to come to the Braves. And he said he was afraid to talk to Henry Aaron when he first got here. It's these stories have been incredible today.
We'll continue to talk about that. Dale Murphy's going to join us later this hour, as Carl mentioned. And, again, it's one of those days where, you know, we got football to talk about in the playoffs, but Hank, it just meant so much to so many people and transcended sports for all those reasons. And Arch Jones joins us right now here on a WadeFord.com hotline. I know, Dave, you've been here in Atlanta. You came here, and obviously you got to do events with Hank and stuff. Just give us your thoughts on Hammer and Hank.
Yeah, I arrived, guys, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate what you guys are doing. I've been listening to you guys most all day talking about Hammer and Hank Aaron. What an iconic figure, not just on the baseball field, what he meant to this community and what he – just the kind of person he was, just a genuine article, I guess is the best way to describe him. But I remember an event. I was a starting quarterback here in Atlanta going into the 1986 season. I remember I was at a charity event, Neek and I, and I think they even were able to wrangle Dale Murphy to come. Murph had been a two-time MVP of the league. I don't know how they got Murph to come over, but Neek and I were young guys in the city. Neek was in, I think, his first All-Star year here with the Hawks. And like I said, I'd won the job as a starting quarterback here with the Falcons. And Hank Aaron shows up, and we were kind of the life of the party there. And when Hank walked in, all eyes turned to him, and rightly so. My jaw dropped because that was the first chance I'd ever had a chance to meet Hank Aaron, and I knew who he was. I was a longtime baseball fan. As a kid, it was my favorite sport, and I had a chance to go to games in the Bay Area, California. You remember, Mike, I've talked about that some, where I got to go to Oakland Alameda County Coliseum and got to go to Candlestick Park and watch these guys play, and got a chance to see Hank Aaron come in and play when I was a kid, and to be standing there with him was unbelievable. Sent chills down my back, and he couldn't have been more gracious. He came over, deflected all of the attention from him to back to us as young players, Neek and I standing there. Just was an unbelievable moment that he would really kind of make sure he included everybody. And that's who he was. And you guys have talked about it. You've talked to a number of people, Brian Jordan, all these guys that have talked about him. I know Murph's going to come on here in a little while and talk about him as well. So just a tremendous human being and a tremendous, tremendous ball player, no question, but really an ambassador for our city.
It is Dave Archer, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Wade Ford is your Ford dealer. Let's shift gears. I want to ask you about the coordinator hires. I've been interested in who was going to be the DC since this whole thing went down at the end of the season. And now we know it's going to be Dean Pees. I also have been very fond of us going to a 3-4, not knowing who they were going to hire, but Arch, it looks like that's what's going to happen. That's kind of his history, isn't it? Talk to us about Dean Pease and what we're getting in the D.C.
Well, and I've been doing the same thing, Carl, and really diving into Dean Pease and getting ready really for him to be the coordinator. And it's really a good get. This is a guy that's been lured out of retirement a couple times. Vrabel got him to come out of retirement after his run as a really good Baltimore defensive coordinator, got him to join him in Tennessee. Of course, Vrabel had played for him in New England when they were really good in New England. He was the defensive coordinator for Bill Belichick up there. So they knew each other extremely well. He lured him out and again came back and put together a top 10 defense there in Tennessee. And then finally decided to step away last year. And here you go. You get another guy that's coached with him in Arthur Smith that's lured him back out of retirement. But you're right. When you look at his history, if you do find a base, it is a 3-4 base. Obviously, that's what Belichick loves to run. That kind of comes spins off of the Bill Parcells tree to a certain extent. And then when he got to Baltimore, they were very good on defense there with what they, you know, Terrell Suggs and Arthur Jones coming off the edge. And, you know, what's really cool about it, Carl, is the fact that, you know, you think, okay, well, he had elite level players on the three teams where he's had top 10 defenses. Okay, 9 of his 12 years as a defensive coordinator, his defense has held teams to 20 points or less. Mm. Think about that. 9 of the 12 years as a defensive coordinator, 20 points or less. This guy is an incredible defensive coordinator. 7 top 10 scoring defenses.
Right.
Over his 12 years, they averaged being 10th. All time, all the 12 years, you average all the years together, they were 10th best over that 12-year period in the three different places. And guys, when you start talking about, okay, well, he had elite-level pass rushers. Yes, Suggs and Jones are very good. Mm-hmm. You go to the New England team, they didn't have elite-level pass rushers. They had Asante Samuel on the edge. They had Rodney Harrison in the back end. They had Vrabel coming off the edge some, Wilfork up front. So he mixed and matched different personnel groups in the three different places he was at to create top 10 defenses. They didn't have great pass rushers in Tennessee.
No.
They had really good linebackers that could run. They could blitz linebackers. They had a pretty good secondary, a young secondary. So what I'm telling you is this is a very versatile dude that can mix and match personnel and make it work, and I think that's what's exciting for me.
Right. And we joked around that Dan Quinn kind of flirted with a 3-4-ish, but, you know, this is a guy, Arch just laid it out, and he plays to what the strengths or avoids the weaknesses of what we got. Real quick, Arch, do we have some of those horses to make that work here in-house right now?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And you're going to have a variety of looks and stuff. And a number of times when you see a 3-4 defense, it's really you've got an edge guy that's standing up. T.J. Watt is considered an outside linebacker, but let's be real. He's actually a defensive end coming off the edge. Pittsburgh plays a 3-4 defense, but T.J. Watt is an edge rusher, and that's what you could get with Dante Fowler, get him to stand up. You could make him an edge player in that aspect. So, yeah, you've got personnel that you can make it work.
All right, so with that said, let's talk about Terry Fontenot. He was on our station today with Andy and Randy. These two are going to have to work in tandem. And you know, he said, I'm not going to give away anything because they asked him about what he thought about the personnel on our team. And he said, you know, obviously I don't want to let other GMs know what I'm thinking. So you have to respect that. But I like what I've seen thus far, Arch. Now, again, it's, you know, we're talking about a week. But I think when you hear Terry Fontenot, one of the things that jumped out at me is you get why he, you know, got the attention of Arthur Blank and certainly Rich McKay. And then now stepping into these shoes, having a plan and those two guys working together, tell us what you think about that hire and specifically how that is going to mesh between him and Arthur Smith.
No, just so impressed, Carl, with Terry Fontenot. I mean, wow, you talk about a guy that really you talk about hitting a home run in your press conference. And I know these guys gear for some of that, but how genuine would he come across? He just came across as a guy that, you know, one of the questions I loved that he was asked is, you know, what did you do to pitch yourself to the Falcons? He said, I didn't pitch myself at all. He says, I was just transparent. He says, I didn't get in this business to be a GM. I just want to be the best that I can be in the position I hold. He says, I've got a great job here in New Orleans. My whole family is from South Louisiana. Why would I, you know, I'm not trying to go get anything else. So I just thought that was really transparent in the fact that, you know, he was very comfortable in his own skin. He's excited about coming to Atlanta. And I think the mesh, and obviously there's going to be some work to be done, Carl. These two guys didn't know each other. Arthur Smith and Coach and Terry Fontenot, they didn't know one. They love one another, but didn't know each other. So there's going to have to be some blending. Their evaluation of the roster is what's next. And now that they get all these guys in on their staff, they got to sit down and they've got to evaluate this roster to the nth degree and then get some kind of direction as to which way they want to go, get some commonality as to which direction they need to attack. How do they adjust this roster so you can win next season and then begin to win every year after that? But so there's a lot of work to get done. I'm very impressed to start off with.
Dave Archer's with us, guys. He and Wes Drewham will eventually, again, maybe a new look Falcons, or maybe we add the right pieces. He joins us here at the WadeFord.com hotline. That's the thing, Arch. You can't, so excited, but we're not going to have a real NFL combine. Some of the guys you didn't see play this year, they opted out. We need some edge rush. Obviously, we want to get the power run game, or we don't have to get a running back in the first round. I think there's a lot of depth there. But what do you like? Maybe from the name brand schools, what we saw in the playoffs. Or are there a couple of guys that you say, I covet those guys in a Falcon uniform?
Well, and it's tough, Mike. I think you make some great points. I mean, Gregory Rousseau is a guy that really, when you look at him from a physical standpoint, at 6'5", 270, 265 pounds, you think, wow, look at this dude, 6'6", 6'7", a gigantic dude, former receiver, so an athletic dude, doesn't have a lot of play time under his belt, was outstanding in 19, as you mentioned, opted out. So you start talking about guys that played. And I know there's a ton of fans in this city that want the Falcons to draft a quarterback, and one in particular at the number four spot. But I'm going to disregard that right now, and you certainly could do that. There's no question. I would, if it were me right now, and obviously a lot of evaluation to go, I would move back in the draft a few picks, maybe five, six picks. I would take Patrick Surtain as the corner to match up with A.J. Terrell on the outside. I would garner myself another pick or two, try to get maybe – three of the top 45 players in the draft, somehow find a way to get a running back in that mix, and maybe you find a way to get an edge rusher, one of these edge rushers. Miami has three guys coming out there that all can rush the passer. Rousseau's not one of, he's just one of them. You got Boogie Basham up with Wake Forest. There's a ton of guys that are going to be in the back end of the first round that I think could fill that need. But I think you'd get three guys for one pick. And I think that that's something that I would look at doing right now. But there's a lot of evaluation to go yet, guys.
All right, real quick, let's talk about this weekend. Who do you like and why? Let's start with Bucks and Green Bay. NFC, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. It's got all the pomp and circumstance. Which way are you leaning and why?
Yeah, I think Brady obviously was very comfortable in the surroundings. Carl, there's no question that you haven't played in New England all that time. And Gronk will be too. I'm not sure everybody else will be. You know, how are those other guys going to satisfy the fact that they're playing in the elements up there? Green Bay does it. That's who they are. If you go to Green Bay, that's what's expected. So I think Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers is playing off the charts, guys. I don't know we've seen Aaron Rodgers play better. I mean, he's playing extremely well. And now you've got a guy that's running the football for him in Aaron Jones. So I think that Green Bay wins that game. I think it's going to be a good game, but I think he wins that game. Good to see that Patrick Mahomes is on target to be in the AFC Championship game. That would have been a little bit of a deflator for all of us to not get. Got the old guy game with the two older quarterbacks, and you got the young guy game with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. But I think Kansas City, they're rolling, and I'm going to take the Chiefs. I love the Bills. I think the Bills' inability to run the football is going. I think the Bills' inability to run the football is going to hurt them. And I think the Chiefs win the football game.
All right, man. Good call, big guy. And again, this. Leave off season. We'll get you on to pick your brain before you know it, man. The draft will be here, and we'll get an idea what we're going to look like. Plus, the offseason moves as well with the roster. So, thanks again.
Yeah, my pleasure. Good to be on here. Mike, you got to tell the story about you being at Super Bowl One, though. This will be a repeat of Super Bowl One for Green Bay and Kansas City.
No, that was
about you being there.
No, that was Fricky. Fricky was covering it for United Press International. That's the wrong guy.
All right, have a great weekend, man. Thanks so much. Coming up, Dale Murphy is going to join us as we continue to remember Hank Aaron, guys, who passed away today. But before we get to Dale, you got to hear Chipper Jones. Chipper called in right at 2 o'clock to get us started today. Hear what he had to say about the legend of Hank Aaron next.
And now, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Sports Flash.
I'm Mike Conti, and this update is brought to you by Nature Valley. The legendary Hank Aaron has died at the age of 86. The Braves say he passed away in his sleep this morning. Aaron is undoubtedly one of the most significant figures in Atlanta sports history. 92.9 The Game, Sam Crenshaw said today that Aaron succeeded in a high-pressure environment.
It's just being on the field, the pressure that the athletes of that era felt to not fail for fear it would close the door on future athletes and deny them opportunities. So he had to carry that.
Aaron hit his 715th home run at Fulton County Stadium, which at the time was the most significant moment in baseball history. He also had a 14-year front office career with the Braves ending in 1989. The Hawks are looking for their third straight win tonight and can get back over the 500 mark for the first time in over 2 weeks as they face Minnesota on the road. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game will have it for you starting at 7:30. Arthur Smith's coordinators are now in place with the Falcons late Thursday announcing the hiring of Dean Pease as defensive coordinator, Dave Ragone as offensive coordinator, and Marquise Williams as special teams coordinator. The Falcons also hired 3 position coaches today. Feel the rush of a chilly morning. Embrace the possibility of the perfect snack and taste the crunch from 100% whole grain oats. Stay outside longer with Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Granola Bars. We are better outside. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Mike Conti from the Kia Studios on your home of tonight's Hawks Timberwolves game. Tip off at 8, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Famer Chipper Jones joining us here on Dukes and Bell on the WadeFord.com hotline. Atlanta's place to get a Ford. And I'll say this, Chipper, you know, I know you're doing the rounds today and everybody's asking you a variety of questions about Henry Aaron. I don't want to talk about the baseball to start. I just want to talk about the human being he was and what kind of man he was, because for me, in my experiences, that's the thing that stands out. And I think a lot of people, you know, that didn't get to know him on a personal level, like you, what would you say to those folks?
Just a beautiful human being. He was a transcendent player in baseball history, but he was also a transcendent human in American history. To have played the game of baseball and put up with what he had to deal with early on in his career, and then to, you know, embark on a journey that would take him to the brink of breaking one of the most hallowed records, you know, in the game of baseball, and all the pressure that was put on him, not just by, you know, playing the game, representing his team, you know, breaking the record, but having the weight of, you know, all African Americans, you know, kind of not really riding his coattails, but like hanging on everything that he did, man, you want to talk about pressure.
Right.
Most people would have wilted and quit, you know, under that kind of pressure, but not Hank. Hank had too much drive, had too much determination. And one thing I'll say about Hank, he was the most, at least when I met him, he was one of the most laid back guys. He just had this aura about him, this inner peace, this confidence that, like, he knew the question before you were going to ask it. And he certainly knew the answer to it. You know, and he was just a phenomenal human being. And I'm so glad that he has been the pillar, you know, the guiding light of our organization for as long as I've been here and way before that.
It's a Hall of Famer, Chipper Jones, guys, with us here on Dukes and Bell on the WadeFord.com hotline. And how much interaction did you have when you were coming up in the Braves organization? How much did you guys get to see a Hank or later in your career?
Not enough. I know that, you know, Bobby and Snit certainly would have welcomed him as much as possible, because how can you not, as a player, want to sponge off, if not the greatest, certainly one of the top 2 or 3. I know that's certainly debatable, you know, through the years and whatnot, but one of the greatest players to ever you know, play the game, you know, and I think what was funny was watching. So, you know, me being around all the time, you know, I saw Hank, I interacted with Hank. I'm sitting here looking at my only picture that I ever had with Hank Aaron. And, but the funny thing was to watch guys who were new to the organization come in, and Hank would walk through the clubhouse and just see it was like a god was walking by, you know. I mean, it was, you know, their eyes were as big as silver dollars. Their mouth was wide open. It was just like they knew they were in the presence of greatness. But you would have never known it, having gotten to know Hank. You know, he wasn't a home run king. He was just humble and just one of the most classiest people that I've ever met.
Braves legend, Major League Baseball legend, sports legend. Henry Aaron passing away at the age of 86. It's Dukes and Bell, and we're talking to Chipper Jones here on the program. I know you hit a lot of home runs, and then you start looking at this guy, and you go 40 home runs 8 times, right? And then you go, he hit 20-plus in 20 consecutive seasons. And then, Chipper, you go, wait a minute. He's been retired now, it seems like, forever, and the RBI record is still his, over 2,297 RBI, just to put in that perspective of how damn good this guy was.
Yeah, so we are all Earthlings, and he played for the Galactic All-Stars. He was on a different level. So when I was saying my goodbyes and kind of riding off into the sunset myself, I saw a video of Hank, and he was talking, he was, you know, obviously talking about me, and he said, Chipper Jones is a Hall of Famer in his own right, and I hope when he gets inducted, they put his plaque right next to mine. I chuckled at that because and the next time I saw him, I went up to him and I said, hey, I hope they put my plaque right next to yours too, because I know every person that walks into Monument Hall, they're going to Hank Aaron's plaque to see it. And if they see yours, they're going to see mine. Because if they put mine in a different corner, ain't nobody coming to see mine. You know, so obviously being one of the greatest players of all time, you want to go see Hank Aaron's plaque, you know, there in Monument Hall. And I just thought it brings chills to my, you know, that you couldn't measure with a yardstick, you know, whenever I think about, you know, one of the greatest of all time accepting me, you know, into the Hall of Fame and saying those nice things about it is something I'll never forget.
That is so awesome. It's Chipper Jones with this guy. He's a Hall of Famer. And, again, it's a high traffic zone. You're right, where Hank is. And just talk about it, Chipper, as a professional hitter that you were. The guy, if he doesn't hit a home run, he's still got 3,000 base hits, which is just mind-blowing.
That's a whole lot of, you know, flipping balls into right field. Like you said, almost 2,300 RBIs. You know, they're not all coming on round trippers. He's you know, flipping that single to right field, going with it, hitting the ball up the, you know, up the middle, up the box, two outs and a guy in scoring position. I just, you know, when you think about how many RBIs 2,300 is, I honestly think, you know, and I think, you know, Pujols could, I think he's up around 2,000, if I'm not mistaken, pretty close to 2,000, and could probably scare it. But that's a number. First of all, you don't see guys play 22, 23, 25 years anymore, you know, and, you know, once you hit 40 years old in baseball, that's, you're pretty much dead to everybody. You know, I mean, there's not a lot of production, you know, left after the age of 40. So I would have to put that at or near the top of one of those numbers in Major League Baseball that I don't think will ever be broken.
Chipper, we've lost a lot of Hall of Famers here recently. I mean, you know, Gibson, you talk about, you know, Joe Morgan, Seaver, Niekro. It's just, and now
just lost Don Sutton.
Yeah, Don Sutton, the legendary, you know, Henry Aaron. I'm curious to know what you think this next Hall of Fame induction ceremony will be. We, you know, 2020 was crazy, and we know why, right? COVID-19. But as we move forward, what that celebration will be like and how different it will be, but also how special it will be.
Yeah. Every Hall of Fame induction that I've been to, you know, there's one or two guys that, you know, have passed away, and we give tribute to them before we induct the next class. And I'm just afraid that, you know, with this tribute this year, if we do have an induction in July, that tribute is gonna last for hours. You know, I mean, with the Hall of Famers that have passed away, the MVPs, the Cy Youngs, the World Champions, the Hall of Fame people, humans that have passed away in the past 10 to 12 months, just it boggles my mind, and even more so, you know, the amount of Atlanta Brave royalty that we've lost in the last month with Nuxi and Don Sutton, and obviously, you know, the greatest of all time, Hank Aaron, is just, I'm scared to wake up in the morning and check my phone. You know, I mean, right. It just seems like gut punch after gut punch. But it's going to be a heck of a celebration of life for those men. You know, I'm just at a loss for words with the amount of loss that we've had, you know, to baseball royalty here in the last year. It's crazy.
Well, we do appreciate you coming on. Obviously, it's been it's a tough day for so many folks, as we said, to lose the guys in the Braves family as well. Just one last question, because I mentioned it with Carl the other day. I got a picture with Hank when I was, you know, 20 years ago, and I felt like a little kid, and my dad wasn't around. When you meeting all these guys, are you like calling your dad, hey, by the way, guess who I just hung out with? Because I know how big baseball was to you growing up.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I can remember my first day walking in the Braves clubhouse at old Fulton County Stadium after I got drafted in 1990. And the first three people that I met when I walked in the clubhouse was Hank Aaron, Dale Murphy, and Ron Gant, you know, and, you know, like I said, you want to talk about baseball royalty as far as the Braves go, you know, Dale Murphy stands up and he looks 7 feet tall. You know, just a huge human being. And then Ron Gant stands up, and he is not very tall, but just built like a brick house, you know. And at that point, I'm thinking to myself, you better get in the weight room, because these are grown-ass men playing this game up here. And then you meet, you know, the greatest of all time, and you shake his hand, and it literally engulfs your hand. He's got these huge forearm, Popeye forearms, and that let me know right away that I was not playing a game I was familiar with. You know, I was going to have to grow up in a hurry, but they certainly made an impression, and you know, certainly inspired me to become the player that I became.
Chipper, class act as always. We appreciate you, brother, coming on and sharing your memories and helping us remember the legendary Henry Aaron. We appreciate you today. Thank you so much, man.
My pleasure, guys. Y'all be good.
Chipper Jones, just another, you know, a great coming on the program today. But we're not done. Wait, no,
there's more. Yeah, man, Murph. We're gonna talk to Dale Murphy, who again, Chipper just talked. It's all sort of generational. Chipper talks about meeting Murph and Hank. We're gonna get Dale Murphy's take on the legendary Hank Aaron. A reminder: Falcon Report earlier with Arch. We got Arch's take, and we heard from Brian Jordan earlier, and John Smoltz and Andrew Jones. It's been a huge day as we remember Hank and the Falcon Report too, guys. We got some more playoffs to get to. Brought to you by our buddies at Domino's. Don't forget 10 wings, $7.99. Carry out and get that car side delivery when you go to Domino's.com, Carl.
Stay tuned. The great Dale Murphy's next. It is Dukes and Bell. We had every intention today to come in, talk a lot of football, talk about the Falcons hirings, which we have done a little bit of. But obviously our focus shifted once we got the news today that the legendary Henry Aaron had passed away at age 86. And we've been getting different perspectives from different folks all day. I kind of been waiting on this guy because as we've talked to different people, they talk about two guys that they wanted to meet as they came into this organization. One of them being Henry Aaron. The other guy is on the phone right now with us. His name is Dale Murphy. And, Murph, you know us. I mean, we love to talk baseball with you. And hopefully, you know, we're talking about better things down the road. But today we're remembering Henry Aaron. And I'll ask the same question I've been asking all of our guests today. You got the news this morning. What were your initial thoughts? And what do you remember about Hank Aaron?
Well, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I saw it on social media, and I was just, how do you describe what's been going on in this country, in individual families, individuals struggling, and the baseball family has been struggling with we've lost quite a few of our legends, and then I see this, and I just. It was another punch to the gut. There's an incomparable life on the field and then off the field as well. It just cannot be equaled. It just is one of those things that I will forever be grateful to be drafted by the Atlanta Braves. And even though my first spring training was 75, and that was his first year back with the Milwaukee Brewers. He wanted to finish his last couple of years there in Milwaukee. And so we didn't really cross paths, but until he came back, and it just, you know, made me really thankful that I was able to be with an organization that Hank was around, got to, you know, rub shoulders with him and talk to him and I just couldn't be more grateful for that chance, because when you were in his presence, you could feel something different about the spirit that he had about him and what he had been through and what he had done and the way he handled everything. There was just a palpable feeling that you were in the presence of one unique human being.
I know as Dale Murphy joins us, Dale, the phrase that keeps coming up is like grace, you know, and how gracious he was with everybody. And there was an article just that came out today, because I know Snitker and some of the Braves family was talking, you were speaking earlier, and Brian Snitker talked about how Hank basically gave him his first shot when he was working in the front office to be a coach, and how Hank maintained a relationship with him. So he just reached out, in addition to all the things that he had to deal with as a baseball player and as a human being growing up and playing baseball in the era that he did, just how good he was to other people.
Yeah, he definitely was. I think, he had an easygoing personality. I think that's one of the things that, you know, you look at what he did on the field, it's mind-boggling. But he just didn't bring a lot of attention to himself and, you know, was just easygoing when you talk to him. I never felt uncomfortable around him. I knew I was, you know, next to someone that was very unique, but he always made you feel comfortable. And I thought it was interesting when I was with the big leagues. So he was, you know, over the minor leagues, when I was in it, you know, with the Braves, and he didn't come down a lot. He only came down to talk to the hitters if he was invited. He really respected our hitting coaches. Right. And I do remember there was at least one time when whoever it was our hitting coach said, Hank, you need to come down here and talk to Murph. So he would come down, and, you know, you just would hang on every word he said. And, it kind of set the tone, I think, for the organization. And I think the organization has always tried to live up to the tone that Hank Aaron set throughout the organization on and off the field.
It is the great Dale Murphy joining us here on Dukes and Bell, talking about Henry Aaron. You know, we talk about these numbers, and you just kind of reflect on them today. And I think sometimes you read these numbers and you just go, 21 seasons as a Brave. But then you talk about basically 20 years as an All-Star. I mean, 20 years. A lot of guys, Murph, they don't last 5 years. He had 20 years where he was an all-star. I mean, it's crazy.
It really is. You know, there's who is the best hitter, who's, you know, best this, and whether Bonds is, you know, the real home run king and all that stuff. But there wasn't anything that Hank couldn't do. And I don't know if there were other players that could you could say that about and then, you know, then do it for so long. And then you got to add, to me, you got to add the degree of difficulty.
Right.
You know, not taking, I'm not downplaying what all African Americans went through when Hank was playing and that era. It was so overt that if that's the right word, the racism, you know, not staying in the same hotel or not eating in the same restaurant. So you can argue who had the greatest degree of difficulty.
Right.
And then do what he did under those circumstances. Of course, we know what happened when he was closing in on Babe Ruth, the death threats, the security he needed, staying at the ballpark instead of going home, worrying about himself and his family. You know, I talked to a friend of mine, Bruce Hurst, who played for the Red Sox during the 80s, and the Yankees and the Red Sox were going at it. He said, you know, we had death threats when we'd go to Yankee Stadium, but none of us thought anything of it. You know, it was just like they're crazy Yankee fans, you know, he said. But Hanks was serious and racial. Right. And then you add that with going out to play every night and then doing what he did. There's nobody that can equal that. You look at the statistics, add the degree of difficulty. It really is incomprehensible, isn't it, that I think nine guys didn't vote for him for his first year in eligibility for the Hall of Fame.
I know.
You know, there is that theory back then that, you know, no one goes in their first year. So, but just think about that for a minute. He led. He had basically every major league record at the time.
Right.
But again, I'm sorry to keep repeating that degree of difficulty, but I think. It's you think about that, and then you go through those numbers. Everybody should Google and just look at what he did. It's unreal. It is really unreal.
Well, and not to add on to this, but I said this to Mike earlier. You're doing that on a daily basis. You're expected to show up, do your job at the ballpark. Meanwhile, every day you're going to the mailbox and you're seeing, I hate you, I'm going to kill you. You're not this, you're not that. You're being harassed when you get to the ballpark. I mean, that. To compartmentalize those things, right, and still go do your job. That's what you're talking about. And I don't know how many guys, if any, outside of Henry Aaron could have done what he did.
No. And you know, you talk about Jackie Robinson. Talk about what Jackie went through. And, again, all the African-American players, what I'm saying is he did it for, like you said, every year for 20 years.
Right.
Right.
And so you take statistics, you take the way he did it, and what he went through, it is unequaled, and it'll never, you know, we'll just never have a ball player like him. You know, I think about the things on my mind. I'm not downplaying the things that were, you know, but I think about, you know, family life, my kids, maybe somebody's sick. You know, when you got to go to the ballpark, and you, like you said, you got to go out there and do your job, no matter what your job is. I mean, you know, you have things going on in your life.
Right.
But I cannot comprehend what it was like you just said, to go to the ballpark with that on his mind. I can't comprehend it.
It is our man Dale Murphy. We talked about it. I mean, the commissioner's not even there when he hits 7:15. Pooey Q's not even in Atlanta. You're talking about the level of disrespect and the grace. And just other things we've talked about today. We've covered all the emotions, Dale. How good the pitching was in the 50s and 60s. Everybody Hank played against went into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and I talked with somebody about that. You know, you're facing Sandy Koufax in Atlanta, and then you got to go to L.A., and you got to face Sandy Koufax next week.
Right.
It's Sandy Koufax.
Drysdale.
Don Drysdale. And then you go to San Francisco, and you got
Juan Marichal.
I don't know, maybe you got Marichal, who, by the way,
Pete Rose called Sandy Koufax his toughest pitcher. He called Marichal the best pitcher who could control it and, you know, out-duel you, so to speak, was Marichal. But then you got Bob Gibson. You're facing him this week and you're facing him next week. And we're forgetting some of the other – I'm forgetting some of the other great ones. But you're right. Without expansion, whatever you want to call it, other factors turned in, I would not want to face Bob Gibson, right. You know, one week and then go home and face him again. It's just that doesn't sound fun. I mean, no, it's an incredible – it's hard to find words to describe how unbelievable of a player he was. And we can all talk, the stats. You just got to go look at him, people. Just go sit there for a minute and look at Google and see what he did. It's remarkable.
Murph, thank you so much. We appreciate you sharing with us today. And we'll be talking down the road about, baseball. But today, remembering yep. Henry Aaron. So thank you again, Murph. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Cool. Thanks, Dale.
Man, lots to digest today, man. You know, right. with trying to remember Henry Aaron. And again, Mike, Mike and I don't assume that everybody knows all the things we do or, have watched all the things we've watched over the years. Many of you are just fringe sports fans and you're listening and you just might not have an idea. And to Dale Murphy's point, go check it out. This guy was absolutely incredible outside of being a great human being. Coming up. Top 3 at 6. Who's going to win this weekend? It's Championship Sunday. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.